Chapter 59. The next time that the Bombascos and the Bregos met was at Angel's birthday party. Celeste had planned a lavish meal, and everyone, including Angel's father and his family, was invited. It was scheduled for a Sunday, and Ron was relieved that there would be no pressure for him to be anywhere else. Joey and Mario worked all morning to set up the backyard with tables and tablecloths and chairs that they borrowed from neighbors. Anna sat in her kitchen, holding her fly swatter. With all the ins and outs through the back door, she was sure that her house was now infested. Celeste was at the stove. She had four burners going, and she felt tense and happy. Her daughter was 2 years old. Anna said, "Any chance that Ron is intending to lend a hand?" "He's working, Mom. On a Sunday morning? And you believe that?" "He does his papers and prepares for the week on Sundays." "Jimmy never had to work on Sundays." Celeste unsuccessfully tried to hide her sarcasm in the voice. "Jimmy's a gym teacher." "Oh," said Anna. "So now this Ronnie-come-lately is more important than your cousin." "I didn't say or mean that." "Who knows what you're talking about half the time?" Exasperated, Celeste reached for the pot of boiling water without a pot holder or a mitten. The hot metal pot burned into her hands. She dropped it and screamed. "Oh, for God's sake!" Anna got up with difficulty. "Go to the bathroom so I can take care of you." Before Celeste had become a nurse, before Tina had become a nurse, Anna had nursed during World War II. She'd seen burns. She dressed her daughter's hand efficiently. Celeste watched as her sedentary mother's hands worked with agility. The burns were minor. It wouldn't be a problem. Anna gazed into her daughter's eyes and saw her dreams, felt a pang of jealousy. It wasn't jealousy without love. Maybe it was envy. Anna had settled on a life. Mario had hardly been her first or only choice. But he was sensible and romantic. Most of all, he made her feel safe. He didn't play an instrument anymore, but he'd serenaded her outside of her window when he courted her. The difference was that Mario no longer had ambition. The war had taken that away. Being a paratrooper as part of the preparation for D-Day had taken that away. The people that he'd had to shoot had left him incapable of wanting more. Being peeled out of the night, ice in the Battle of the Bulge, had convinced him that he wanted a warm and easy life with easy comforts. They had two children. They made a life. Anna looked into her daughter's eyes. She had given her a grandchild who was beautiful and who Anna could tell embodied her spirit. She felt that Celeste's choices in men had been astoundingly abysmal. They were either both entertaining and good for nothing, or cold fish. "How does it feel?" "I'll be okay," said Celeste. "He should have been here." "You don't know him the way that I do. He's kind and good, and he's really smart. He loves the baby." "I still don't think this is a good idea," said Anna. "I don't think that you know what you are getting yourself into."
"Why?"
"I want to read his card," said Anna. People began arriving for the party, and there was still no sign of Ron. Celeste slipped off to dial his number, and when there was no answer, she felt a twinge. She came upstairs and broke into a grin as she heard him squeaking around the corner. Barb was dressing Angel, who insisted that she wanted Aunt Barb to do it because she knew how to make her look the prettiest. Barb had beamed. Tina arrived with little Joey and hollered, "Where's the birthday girl?" Mario had come in the back door. He smiled and picked up his grandson. "She's upstairs, making herself beautiful." He enunciated each syllable and then drew them out so that the word had a feel of cacophony. Celeste kissed little Joey and opened the front door just as Ron was coming up the stairs. He immediately saw the bandage on her hand and said, "What happened?" "Little accident," said Celeste. "It's nothing." Anna was back in her chair. She reached for her cigarettes and found that Mario had slipped the clear plastic off and turned it around so that it covered the open pack. She frowned and tore it off. "You know, Mario, it doesn't do anything but annoy me." Mario didn't answer. Ron said, "Tell me what happened." "I burned my hand reaching for a pot and forgetting that it was hot. It was my own fault." Anna wanted to add that her mother had bandaged it, but she didn't. She looked at her grandson in Mario's arms and smiled. He was a big boy and very happy. He slept through the night. He entertained himself in front of the TV. In short, he was 10 times less demanding than Angel was. Publicly, she credited Tina with this. Privately, she knew that Angel was just more of a problem child. It was good to keep Celeste in her place, though. Then she frowned with the thought that all of that would be changing now. She grimaced at Ron. Barb and Angel came downstairs. Angel was wearing a pink dress with white hearts on it. Her hair had a pink ribbon and hung down past her shoulders with delightfully bouncing, twirling curls. "Here's the princess," announced Barb. Angel took hold of the hem in her dress and did a little half-curtsy, just the way that she and Barb had practiced upstairs. Anna smiled until she laughed. Mario repeated, "You look beautiful," elongating the word even more than the first time. Ron crouched down and Angel ran to him. "Do I look pretty?" she said. "You're the prettiest 2-year-old in the entire world," said Ron. Then Angel ran to her grandmother, who leaned over and hugged and whispered in her ear, "You are a knockout." Angel wasn't sure what she meant, but she grinned with the faith that her grandmother always said nice things to her. Tina smiled. "Hello, gorgeous girl, and happy birthday." There were about 50 people in the backyard when the Bombascos arrived. Ron grimaced when he saw that Lois was with Marjorie and George. He had hoped that he didn't have to explain that. There was a polite reception for them, and introductions were made. Marjorie went up to Angel and said, "Happy birthday," and handed her an elegantly wrapped gift. Angel took it, ran over to the stack of presents that was taller than she was, and twice as wide. Marjorie waited to be thanked. Celeste came over and kissed Marjorie on the cheek and said, "Thank you very much, and please enjoy yourself." Marjorie's eyes were fixated on the huge pile of presents. She watched Angel toss it onto the pile and saw it disappear. Well, so much for the time that she'd spent wrapping that. Ron said, "Come over here. Let's sit in the shade." Andrew Cagnieri arrived with his mother and father. There was clear awkwardness. There were exchanged looks among the guests. He had a lot of nerve coming here after the way he'd acted. They all knew that while Celeste was pregnant, he had called her repeatedly and begged her to have an abortion. Then his father had called her and told her that she should have an abortion. The general consensus was that he should hang his head in shame for the rest of his life. The sight of the child and the feel of the tension was just too much for Andrew's father. Donald Cagnieri clutched at his chest and collapsed. Rose Cagliari screamed. Tina and Celeste ran. Angel had not seen what happened, and discreetly, Barb took her inside so that she would not be frightened. The sisters acted quickly. Tina loosened his shirt. Celeste took his pulse. Their eyes met and exchanged a troubled glance. Donald was unconscious, and he wasn't breathing. Celeste did CPR. Tina ran to call for an ambulance. Anna's belief in God was reaffirmed. Marjorie thought, what kind of party was this? George watched the efficiency with which Celeste worked and admired it. Ron tried to stay out of the way. He was caught between wanting to go to Angel, wanting to help Celeste, and knowing that he needed to stay close to his mother so that she didn't lose it. It seemed that everything was moving in slow motion. Then the siren could be heard. A stretcher was rolled up alongside of the house. Celeste backed away when she saw the EMTs there. She had done all that she could. She hoped that it was enough. As quickly as they arrived, the Caglieros left. Mario said, is he okay? Celeste answered, I think he's having a heart attack. Anna patted Celeste's hand. You and Tina did very well, and Barb got Angel inside so that she didn't get scared. Ron sat there watching and then turned to Marjorie. Celeste may have just saved his life. Don't be so dramatic, said Marjorie. May have just been the heat. She isn't a doctor. You're incredible, said Ron. He got up and walked away.